if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 315 of BRB UK. I have no A-Road theme jokes, you'll be pleased to hear. I wasn't allowed on the last show because I started going on about A-Roads in episode 313.
Learn your lesson.
I have learned the lesson.
Come back on then.
Do you know what the worst thing about roads is?
They all lead to Rome.
No, that's quite... No, they don't actually all lead to Rome. Try and drive from Aberdeen to Rome. You can't do it.
First problem, I don't drive.
Anyway, before this carries on for far too long, Coleman!
Hi!
How you doing?
I'm okay, you alright?
How are your facial secretions?
They're fine, thank you.
Good? Nothing to report in the facial secretion world?
No, absolutely nothing to report. I'm
absolutely
fine and healthy.
Nothing at all to report.
No, we can stop this now.
We can.
No one needs to know about my health.
Yeah, then there'll be questions about where he's been in the world and his international secret missions, and that'll lead to too many questions.
There is that.
Well, if you will sit in the front row when they're doing the ping pong show and you get hit in the face with it, you know, something, you're going to catch something, dude. That's all I'm saying.
Facial secretions is a horrible phrase, by the way.
Why is facial secretions a horrible phrase?
That might be
phrase?
The new Terra Macellata, I don't know.
Facial secretions.
Have we found secretions. Your Terra Macellata? For anyone that doesn't know the running joke of what we're talking about there, that sounds like absolute nonsense. It may sound like absolute nonsense to the people that know the running joke, but you know.
Hey, but Coleman.
Yeah.
Good job. Everyone has facial secretions.
I don't think I'm going to react the same way as Tim. It's just secretions is generally a
yeah, that's
pretty...
a bad word anyway.
The secretions is a great word. Does what it says on the tin.
It's never a good sign, is it?
It's up there with seepage.
Yeah. Seepage is a subtype of secretion. Usually, maybe not. No. If it comes from a person, it's usually downstream secretion.
Anal seepage.
Yeah, anal seepage. But my favorite death metal band. Anal seepage. Great, love them.
Thank you, we've been anal seepage! Good night, Portsmouth!
And their first album, Ring of Fire, was amazing.
Suitably off track before we even got anywhere near it, but yep.
Well, they'll tell you what, Tim, let's counterpoint it with some wholesome news.
Oh, good.
Are you a second, third, or fourth grader in the United States, Tim?
Possibly?
Mentally, I think I am.
Good, right.
Good.
Well, the good news is, much like BBC Micro Days of Old, Nintendo have partnered up with the Institute of Play in the States to bring a Nintendo Labo? How do you pronounce it?
It's Labo, Dan.
I think it's straight away from Labo.
Labo.
It's actually pronounced Labio.
Labio. Yeah. Of course, I remember now. Labio. That's what happened. That's what you grow when you put that crown on, isn't it? You get labios.
That's right.
Excellent.
Every day's a learning day with Big Red
Every
Barrel.
Every day's
UK.
A learning day, isn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, so they're going to provide Nintendo labios to a number of classrooms, and so it's 100 classrooms in total for second, third, and fourth graders. And I think that's really cool, using this as a way of getting kids interested in science, technology, engineering subjects. I think that's absolutely brilliant, and there should be more of it. It's fantastic. I wish they were doing it elsewhere, not just America. But
well, I'd assume it's a test bed. I mean, Nintendo have headquarters all over the world, so you could imagine that maybe it might follow on suit if successful in the States. It's kind of cool that the stuff that kids get for programming now, I mean, I've seen Minecraft programming tutorials and all sorts. And just today I was in a bookstore that had a book on Star Wars programming, how to create animations and things in the Star, and they gave you like Star Wars templates to work from.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and stuff like that is amazing. I wish we had, wish we had the technology we have today when I was a kid, but I wish we had stuff like this to kind of engross you in rather than the times table robot adventures or whatever.
Yeah. Did you have that bloody robotic turtle?
Yes, I was about to say.
That
put the pen in it.
You shoved the pen up its arse and then got it to trundle around the assembly hall.
Yeah, I never got to have a go on that.
Didn't you? Was it because you always drew a cock and balls?
I think we had to watch the teacher have fun.
really, as they drew a highly polygonal cock and balls on the assembly room floor. But yeah, it certainly sounds so cool. I mean, even like stuff like Raspberry Pis and stuff get actually giving into the hands of kids. And a lot of these things are a lot more, in relative terms, affordable now than they were back then.
Well, even the aforementioned BBC Micro, they make a version of BBC Micro updated for today for kids to test with. That's pretty cool.
Kids today with their bloody Blu-rays.
Kids today with their Blu-rays and their BBC Micros.
It's called a micro bit, I believe, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Something like that. And it's like a little credit card-sized thing.
It's a pie. It's a pie.
I love some pie. No, I think it's really good. I think just teaching coding is a really great thing to teach kids, because it teaches them not only, hey, look, you can actually program, make something out of nothing, but also teaches logic as well. So, I think it's very, very cool.
And also, this makes headway for Nintendo to now get into classrooms, and before you know it, Nintendo schools will start, and kids will be taught by Professor Waluigi.
Reggie would be like Hagrid, wouldn't he? Sat there at the bottom of the paddock in a little hut filled with burgers. Join himself, he'd love it.
Get back.
I'm not sure he'd go with the beard.
Oh, well, I don't know. I reckon he would. Well, he could. I reckon he could probably pull one off. But I think it's more he's channeling his inner Hagrid rather than actually, you know, going full on cosplay. I just like the fact that, you know, at this school, which is, you know, part Hogwarts, part, you know, Professor X's academy, I would like to think, that sat in a poorly put together fiberglass mushroom at the bottom of the field is Reggie, and that's where he lives.
Oh, children, get back to class so we can carry on using your ideas for the next Switch innovation. Oh, I shouldn't have told you that.
So, well, yeah, but I think it's cool.
Yeah.
But I approve. You'll be pleased to know, Nintendo, I approve.
Can bring it over
there. Oh, good. They can carry on forward now.
They can. They can carry on with a clear conscience. I approve.
Somewhere, Reggie Fils-Aimé is looking out of a window in a high-rise building going, ah, good. Good.
Good. Good. And then choking on a hamburger.
Onwards to the UK.
Why has he got this voice?
Do it.
'Twas only yesterday I was contemplating the nature of my facial secretions.
Oh, God.
Whoa. Now I am... got a hotline into the minds of every child in the United States.
Please don't make that a running thing so that Coleman has to make that the episode title. Like, facial secretions is not...
That is one way of putting our listeners down.
Well, it's that or anal seepage at the moment, mate. It's one of the two.
Good news, guys. It's the worst rated episode we've ever made.
Sweat is something that happens when you do sport.
Good.
Nike make things that help wick the sweat away from your body. So, Nike, they're getting into esports.
They like sports.
They love the sports, they love the E's, and therefore they live, love esports, or Nike sports, as they're doubtless going to try and brand it.
Oh, no. Oh. Don't give them ideas, Dan.
Hey, look. I appropriately named our VR podcast, and now I'm just on a roll. You know, admittedly, that role, the period of between moments of revelation is approximately 6.5 months.
BRE Sports.
What? E's are good.
BRE Sports, sponsored by Nike.
No.
Anyway, so they have signed Chinese League of Legends player Jin Jihao.
Good knowledge, Dan.
I'm leaving you on your own on that one.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm guessing it is. And hey, he's teaming up with top t-shirt designer LeBron James, who's also a famous tall person.
Also, shoveler of Sprite in the US. Those adverts are really horrible.
Indeed. And they're teaming up for a clever new shirt design.
Yay.
Clever new shirt design.
What's the clever new shirt design, Dan?
They're going to work together on the Dribble And campaign, okay?
Okay.
Which includes the phrase dribble and carry. It's a bit like what happens when you're over the age of 70 and you need to have a wee. Is what I think.
Dribble and curry is me on a late Friday night.
I mean, to be fair, we mock because it does sound silly. And, well, yes, it does sound silly. The main thing is this whole Dribble And campaign comes from LeBron James basically waving a couple of extended digits at President Donald Trump.
Oh, that's good. I'm all for that.
So it was a response to Fox News host Laura Ingraham's comment to LeBron James, telling him to just shut up and dribble. after he had the audacity to criticise Trump. I'm terribly sorry I called him President Donald Trump, which is giving him an air of respect I don't think the man deserves.
Yeah, and I think that all follows on from the whole taking a knee thing as well. So,
which, you know, it's glad to see that a man who, you know... No, actually, tell you what, no, I'm not going to do a massive Donald Trump rant because this show will go on forever.
That's fine. I'm good. I'm good for that. We've had enough of them. We got a few of them in the bank. I could just take one from a previous episode.
Just do that. Just put it on. Get that queued up to the soundboard, right?
I'm totally not going to do that.
But if I could be bothered,
that would be a thing I could do.
So it's the first. Anyway, he's Zhihao is also known as Uzi.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really making me doubt my attempt at correct pronunciation of his name, but never mind. But apparently they're not the first sportswear company to get stuck in.
No, but they are especially the biggest one to get stuck in.
Yes, although Champion, they partnered with a rather unfortunately named a few European team Dignitas back in September, apparently.
But this is the first actual, the player that has been sponsored, not the team itself. And it's just goes to show you just the rise of esports, especially in the US. We've had esports shown on ESPN, we've had esports on sports magazine covers now, and all sorts of coverage. They're getting their own arenas, which some are cinemas, to be honest. Yeah, it's just showing the shocking rise of esports in the last few years.
I must admit, I've never watched esports.
I tried. I'm not great at watching it. I think the closest I can get to is what's the fighting one?
Evo.
Evo, thank you, Tim.
We missed it this year, but...
We missed it this year because I was in another country. But Evo's the only one I can really get into. And even that, I sleep through quite a lot of it.
I was trying to make a little Judomo there for you.
It's good.
You're interested. I know.
Evo Sports.
Anyway, so yes. So we'll see. Well done to Uzi, I suppose.
Yeah.
Although poor chap, Uzi 9mm, that's what his girlfriend calls him.
That's a Willy joke. Talking about his old Todger.
To be fair, that was quite a long time between the start of the episode and your first dick joke, Dan. So, yeah.
That was a pretty decent joke, I thought.
I actually thought it was all right.
Yeah,
I thought
credit
it was
where
okay.
It's due.
Yeah, hello. Thanks. Thanks, guys. I'm glad you appreciate it. I'm here all week, tippy waiter. Anyway, so there's been all the hullabaloo about Rockstar employees working 100-hour work weeks during the crunch period of Red Dead 2.
We had a nice long conversation about it last week.
Yeah. But apparently they've switched their system of mandatory overtime to voluntary overtime.
Which is bizarre because apparently they didn't have mandatory overtime before.
How strange.
But this is all according to Kotaku, by the way.
So,
very long article on Kotaku about this as well, though, no? It was a generally... well reasoned out and well thought out article and kind of well explained, just very in depth.
So basically, it was that apparently overtime, so on this anti-guarantee, apparently overtime was never mandatory, but was part of a system that involved requesting and scheduling overtime by bosses, and that employees could always say no. So it's a bit like an inverse annual leave system.
That's kind of how shifts worked when I worked at Asda.
Yeah. Well, some people speculate that the whole thing came... more of a problem when they refocused their studios from when they were working as individual studios working on different projects, or not necessarily individual studios, but more having one studio heading up one project and others assisting them. And then they went over to a system where they've worked for their last couple of games, which is all the studios working on the same game, basically, or predominantly.
It is a bit odd. I mean, it's one of these things where... although you can say to your blue in the face, overtime's not mandatory, if you're the one who's electing not to do it and everyone else in the office is, you're going to be the one being overlooked for promotion.
But there are, as I said, there's a long article on Kotaku, so you can go read it, but there is various anecdotal accounts in kind of both directions of, you know, oh, it wasn't really a problem where I was, or no, it really was. And it's like, so it doesn't seem to be necessarily universal. And they are a large company, and we know that crunch is kind of a prevalent thing in the industry. And a lot of people kind of pointed out that when it's such a big company, the amount of people willing to work for Rockstar is probably so large that it creates a culture of feeling slightly disposable or replaceable, and therefore creates a, you know, just not necessarily it, not necessarily something Rockstar has to sit and enhance and go, well, this is something we want, but it's something that naturally lends itself to a culture of overtime and investing more time and pleasing your boss to put more time. And like, that's not a unique thing to the games industry. It just, yeah, it is just a big problem in an industry that then requires sudden crunch time and can is so prone to letting people go. And, you know, like, it's possibly more of a problem, but.
I mean, there's a lot of messed up stuff. And, you know, if the employees are feeling that they're disposable, then senior management are doing something very, very wrong. Because as soon as your employees start feeling that, you know, you're not going to get them, you're not going to get the best out of them. That's what I've always believed.
I would say that I don't think this is a uniquely a Rockstar problem. And it's also not universal from the look of accounts, universal across Rockstar. The other thing I'll preface this with, those they did preface their own article with the fact that they left out some of the worst individual cases because they would give too much evidence to who the person was that was reporting them in some cases. So there was some of the worst individual cases were removed, and it was kind of slightly generalized across some cases in some instances.
I mean, just because you're a big company doesn't give you an excuse to treat people like dirt. I work for a big company and they look at, and I'm looked after fairly well, actually. And, you know, if Rockstar can't do that, the fault is on the management, not on the individual people.
Dan Houser has, you know, in the defense of what he's saying, his initial defense was, look, it was me and some of the more senior staff that were doing this, that were doing the 100 hours weeks. There are other people that are doing overtime, but generally not that much. And I'm not necessarily saying he is doing those 100-hour weeks, so that could be another issue and another bit of debate. But if he's doing a lot of overtime and expects that of other people in his company, that's a bit better than some cases of that not being the case. No, like, I'm not saying it totally excuses it. I'm just saying, like, it's that is more evidence that it's a cultural thing within the industry that even he suffers from, not just something that is something that his lower level employees suffer from.
Yeah, but there should never be an expectation of it.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah, and but what I'm saying is there's an expectation within the game industry that there will be a certain amount of crunch and there'll be a certain amount of overtime put in by people.
But I think more generally that's give and take, though. I mean, in the job I do, I mean, they're pretty flexible, and the trade-off of that flexibility is that sometimes, perhaps, you know, once, twice, you know, a month, if I'm really unlucky, I will have to work fairly late on something fairly urgent. But the trade-off is that, you know, actually the rest of the time they're pretty flexible. We haven't heard anything about the flip side of this particular argument from Rockstar. But, you know, I don't think just because, well, if my boss does overtime, that shows that I ought to be doing overtime, therefore it's okay. That is absolutely not okay.
That isn't particularly the defense that they've come out with. That's just, you know, I'm saying that is further evidence that it's a company-wide thing, not something that's just affecting lower level employees or lower level management or something. It's something that is a cultural thing across not just Rockstar but across the industry.
Yeah, well, organizationally they need to try and get their shit together. If they're doing that the whole time, that's wrong. If it's crunch time, I can kind of understand it, but there should never be the expectation.
Yes, and I'm standing by the comments that we made last week. I also don't think that comment was a good thing for him to be saying, because it implies that investment of too much time in a working week gives you a better game. Like, that is a fundamentally bad statement for someone in his position to be making. I stand by that statement. But all I'm saying is, in the defense of not necessarily him, but Rockstar, it's not universal across Rockstar that these problems are in every country or in every department of every country. You know, it might be dependent on the boss that you're working under. But that's something that possibly need to address at the higher level, and I totally am not excusing them from addressing it. All I'm saying is that I don't excuse Rockstar, but I give some reasoning behind it being a thing that it is a cultural expectation of the industry, and also a problem within their own company because of who they've built their company to be. And I'm not saying they're excusing them. I'm saying that's something they definitely need to look at and address. I'm just saying I can understand how it got to that point, and that it's not something we should necessarily hold against Rockstar as well. You know what I mean? I think that's enough said on that from me, but yeah.
I've slightly forgotten the point we were trying to make. Yes, anyway, that's it for the newsy news. But there's been some interesting points, Coleman, or points of interest, as you like to call them.
I do. I mean, I call them that in private. I don't know why I bother even mentioning this part of the show. But anyway, we got some slightly smaller bits of news, but still important nonetheless and worth talking about. So the Xbox Game Pass, it is a thing that we like to use. It means
I love it. I don't even have an Xbox, though, anymore.
Means we all got to play Forza Horizon 5 without paying for it. But good
really?
News.
Really? That's not even out yet.
Forza Horizon 4.
There we go.
Without paying full price for it. And instead paying for a subscription, which is good, and also meant we got to play Sea of Thieves without wasting money on it.
Both of which, can I just say, are going to be super fun Extra Life games.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I mean, Forza, yes. Definitely, but I'm not sure about Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves would be awesome.
All right, I reckon if you got four friends playing it and you're not playing it randomly
not counted amongst those kind of people, are we, Coleman?
What?
No, he said four friends, Dan.
Yeah, not
yeah,
randoms
I
like
know.
I played. You know?
Mm.
Randoms without mics, or kids that are with mics and turning to their dad going, look what I did, Dad! Look what I did!
Put it away, Jimmy! For God, I don't want to see your elephant impression again.
Anyway, if you might have been feeling that you're a bit left out on the PC side of things, well...
I feel left out, Coleman.
That's right, you do. Reported on Game Informer via Windows Central, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, they revealed during their fiscal year 2019 quarter one earnings call that...
Always an excitement.
Yes, yes. That Xbox Game Pass will indeed be coming to the PC, which it's something that you could have seen coming a mile off.
Yeah, now the thing here is, actually, if I open up the Windows Store now, oh, here's me opening up the Windows Store. Actually, there are some games that already say included with Game Pass. They have done so for quite some time. That's been the case for about a year. So I don't know whether or not they're just expanding it and moving and publishing all first-party titles on the PC as well. But yeah, Game Pass, Sea of Thieves was available on PC on the Game Pass.
Okay.
Forza Horizon 4 was available on the PC via Game Pass.
So I'm assuming what this is the rest of the library of games, 100-plus games, to play on Game Pass via PC instead of Xbox. But I'm wondering, will that just be games that are available on the PC, or will that be games that are available just on the Xbox 360 made available to the PC?
Well, I do wonder, because it does on the PC, it does even surface just purely Xbox stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if Microsoft are kind of eyeing up what Steam currently does and perhaps thinking they might be... launching themselves with a bit more of a games platform on the PC. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case, especially since they're starting to push kind of rather Apple-esque versions of Windows, where it will only run signed applications, like Windows 10S, I believe is what they call it, where it'll only run specific signed applications, which obviously anything that's via Xbox has gone via Microsoft and has been signed as trustworthy code. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try and... get day and date PC and Xbox, and perhaps this is opening the door for them having a bit more of a modular or kind of several flavors of the Xbox down the road, which it will just run on kind of standard-ish PC hardware.
Also, I mean, if they do it in the similar style that they have done, if it mirrors the Xbox version of Game Pass on the PC, then it will mark the first time that Microsoft have managed to pull out a games distribution software on PC without completely nosing it up for the first time. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sadly, Uzi 9mm doesn't have much problem pulling out because he's only 9mm.
He's only 9mm.
Yeah, knob joke.
It was a perfect takeoff, but I think you crashed on landing there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I tell you what.
What?
Day's gone.
The game that no one seems to be looking forward to apart from me.
Week's gone. Months gone.
Motorbike zombie game, but they're not zombies, they're freakers.
tweakers.
Freakers.
Freakers.
Freakers. Look at those freakers coming at us. That's pretty heavy, man. We must get away on our motorbike.
He must be dead, because he's got all of the facial secretions coming out of his orifices.
Oh. What about Days Gone, Dan?
Something orifices.
Okay. Hey, did you know that Days Gone's been put back?
It has been put back again.
But this was sensible.
Yeah, because February is crazy time in the game.
February the 22nd, I think it is, isn't it? That was originally scheduled for. And that's the crazy day where everything's coming out and this game was never going to get bought by anyone because...
Yeah.
Because no one seems to care about it, even though I think it's a good-looking game.
Just to say, hey, the enemies are called freakers. That just puts me off.
It's called freakers, baby.
They're freakers, baby.
It's like, they kind of
look how
like
many
zombies.
Of them freakers can be on the screen at once.
I think everyone's bored of zombies, guys.
They're all
acting
individual of each other. Wow.
Hey, I've got an idea. Instead of calling them zombies, why don't we call them freakers?
Freakers, baby. Freakers. David Bowie's parking gift before he died. How about you call them freakers? That sounds great. And then he left us. Yeah, it's gone from February to April. The reason being, apparently, is down to the Polish once again.
What?
The game requires more Polish. So there's not enough Polish people in this game, so they're adding more in.
So what, just before Brexit kicks in?
Yeah.
Is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Quick, we're not going to be allowed to add more Polish to it after Brexit. Let's do the things.
The joke there is Polish and Polish is spelt the same. 9mm, you say.
Anthem is also due to release on February 22nd. Whether or not it does... I don't think it will.
Everything might get delayed. Imagine if none of the games scheduled on February 20th. They all run away scared from each other.
And they all move to April.
Yeah. No, they'll all end up in November, and then November will go back to being the de facto game release month. Because you remember when everything used to come out in November, and then it just stopped? It all went to October and then September instead.
Yeah, they all tried to get ahead of each other.
Yeah, mad.
But now everything's running away from Red Dead.
Great Scott.
Great Scott. Indeed. Rockets.
Yeah.
Leagues of Rockets.
Good. I'm following you so far.
Cross-party Leagues of Rockets.
Oh, that's a hot button topic.
It is a hot button topic. Sonics.
The Hedgehog.
Makers of Rocket League. Yes. Do you know what we all clearly need in our lives?
Cross-play support on everything.
Another gaming service to have another ID for and doubtless pay for the ability to do certain things on said online service. Psionics are releasing Rocket ID, which is essentially your universal way of signing into Rocket League on the platform or platforms as is of your choice, and is the thing that would have actually allowed cross-party play to be a thing has been pushed back throughout 2019.
I'm surprised by this just because Psionics were the first to go, hey, PlayStation, publicly, can we please do cross-party platform with Xbox because we have everything in place to do it. We could literally throw a Switch and have it ready tomorrow.
Oh, whoops! What's that Switch over there? We better not throw that.
That Switch is way further than we thought it was. Best do it in 2019. Yeah, I think I think those Fortnite lads were the only ones that really had the systems in place because they accidentally activated it. But yeah, Psionics were the first to come out and say we want to put this in place. We have everything in place. We could do this tomorrow, and then we're told no.
Oh, you mean tomorrow? Oh, we meant January the 31st, the tomorrow of January 31st. What we were talking about in 2019 at that tomorrow.
All I can imagine is the whole Psionics, the Rocket ID thing is their system they didn't dream up initially before cross-play, and now that's the thing that they're doing. I should stop saying cross-play and call it cross-party, because cross-play is a completely different thing. But cross-party support, maybe that was the thing they championed after they got the go-ahead to do the release the whole thing since the Fortnite thing happened.
I have a question.
Yeah, Dan?
Are we sure it's pronounced Rocket ID and not Rocketed?
That's exactly it, Rocketed.
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 We are from Rocketed, the previous South African multiplayer game platform.
Mr. Bowie, what are we going to call our cross-party support? Man, you should call it Rocketed.
That was a little bit John Lennon that went there, I'm afraid.
Well, I thought that went a bit John Lennon there. Sorry.
I can always hear Tim face palming from here. Right. Games. Games. Biffle Games. Games of Biffle.
Yep.
Biffle Games from the House of Biffle.
Well, this is like not a Mike Biffle game, but it seems to be that they're doing something helping on the publishing end of things, I'm guessing, basically.
Yeah, so the House of Biffle has merged with the House of Burkitt Rossignol Patterson.
This isn't Game of Thrones, it's just video games.
It's just three people teaming up to make a video game.
I'm trying to make it sound more exciting.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
I'm trying my best here, Coleman.
Right, go on, you do it, and I'll put some epic music in under you in post.
No, I don't want to do it now. You've ruined it.
Da, 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 da.
No, shut up. You read it. You tell us about it.
Okay. Jake Burkitt, friend of the show, previously been on our show to talk about his previous game, Shadowhand, is now announced a new game and is making it with Jim Rossignol. Rossignol, would you say?
I'm not Rossignol. Sure.
Yeah, that's the stuff you take when you can't sleep.
Who's the previous founder of Rock Paper Shotgun and Jen Patterson. And they've announced a game called Ancient Enemy, which is a kind of English folklore card battling game coming out in 2019. So, yeah, both Jake and Mr. Mike Bethel have both been on the show before. I thought I would give that a mention and might be of interest to people that picked up Shadowhand as well, basically.
Collusion.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Collusion.
Collusion. Yeah.
Collusion.
Yes.
Yes.
There is.
That's fine.
You can tell, I'm actually quite a big fan of Jen Patterson's art. I think she does wonderful, wonderful art. So I'm really glad they got her on board as well. So
good.
It is a good combo.
It is a combo. I would give it 3 super meters out of 3 is what I would give it.
Good. That's not a rating scale we use, but good.
It's a rating scale, Tim. All rating scales are completely objective. In fact, everything is ultimately meaningless because of the impending heat death of the universe in a couple of million years.
I'd give it 4 cans of lager in my pocket in the cinema.
Yeah, exactly. I'd give it 3 oranges out of apple is what I'd give it.
Excellent.
Yes.
That's high praise.
It is. It is. And I like oranges. Battle Royale.
That's a hot button topic, Dan.
Hey, it sure is, especially when they're the one remaining AAA franchise that doesn't have a battle royale mode.
Tekken
had to push. Shooty battle royale mode. Although Tekken,
Halo.
If there was 100 person, like a proper full on WWE Royal Rumble with 100 people, that'd be amazing.
There was a 50 man Rumble earlier in the year.
That's more of a fumble.
It was called the greatest Royal Rumble.
No, I think 100 is the benchmark at which it becomes a royal thing.
Okay.
Or that could...
Hey, Dan.
What?
What's the story?
Yeah.
Battlefield.
Come back to us, Dan.
Battlefield.
Battlefield.
Battlefield the 5th.
Battlefield the 5th.
Yeah.
Battlefield the 5th.
I'm aware of its work.
Okay, right. It has a battle royale mode. Now, this is a unique game mode. You might not have heard anything about this, so bear with me, okay?
Okay.
Right, so, Battlefield
Isn't
5.
Battlefield
imagine,
just all various scales of battle royale, almost. No? I don't know.
What?
Anyway.
No, not really.
Okay.
So, 100 soldiers jump out of a plane.
Okay.
Onto a bit of land.
Yeah.
Shoot each other in the face.
Okay.
Until only one man or woe man remains. I give you Battle Royale.
But it's not called Battle Royale. It's called Firestorm.
God damn it. Ugh, why do I have to come up with a new... Why is it called... I bet you I do know why it's called Firestorm.
Firestorm!
Yeah, why it's called Firestorm is, I bet, instead of the ethereal circle of badness that closes on you, I bet it's a ring of fire coming back. Oh, how cyclical is this podcast? We started off on anal seepage, and their first concept album Ring of Fire, and we're bringing it to a close with the same Ring of Fire. Coleman, I think we've done very well this podcast.
Excellent. The point I being is
we've hit peak podcast and we should stop.
So Battlefield 5 was meant to come out early in October. It got pushed back, and now it turns out that the battle royale mode Firestorm.
Hey, I didn't catch that catchy name. Tell me it again.
It's called Firestorm.
Wow.
It's not actually due to come out until March 2019, which is odd especially when you consider that Call of Duty has come out. It has a battle royale mode and it's very popular, and it launched day and day with the game.
I just refuse to play COD Blops 4.
People seem to like it until they add all the purchasing in next month.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming.
Well, Yeah, well, I just find the player base generally toxic. I'm just too old for it. It's the first time, do you know, I've looked at a video game proposition, apart from obviously, like, you know, My Lovely Horse Simulator or something like that, and gone, I'm not the first time at all.
You've basically, like, there's hundreds of games you've done that with before, is what
you're
saying.
No, but this is, like, the first one that I feel like I am no longer in the relevant demographic.
Well, there's no single player, so there's no basis of me wanting to play it, and also it covers a subject that just really doesn't interest me, which is war.
And what is that good for, Carl, man?
Absolutely nothing, Dan.
That is indeed correct.
Yes. War, what's it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. 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 Tim, you need to pay attention.
Get your hearing checked, Tim.
Oh, we suppose we ought to really talk about what we done played, which is going to be 20
Red
minutes
Dead
of Tim.
Redemption. Oh, it's not out yet.
So this is going to be 20 minutes of Tim talking about the menus in Soul Calibur, misspelled Soul Calibur.
No, that's how they spell it.
Mm. Is it really?
Yeah.
Mm. He's going to tell you, it's 20 minutes talking about Soul Calibur, and then me and Carmen are going to have 30 seconds each to talk about what we've done played. Tim, go!
I could talk about Soul Calibur too, because I played it previously.
All right then.
Yeah. Well, I think we should leave it a little bit more until Coleman and I have had an extended chance to play some more two-player, although we have played a good bit of that. We haven't played with the full roster of people quite so much.
Yeah.
Are there still wholly inappropriate, clearly inappropriate amounts of development time on certain bits of physics?
Yes, never been a
massive concern for Soul Calibur.
Yeah, that's more of a DOA thing, and they kind of toned that down now.
Yeah, so, no.
You can still knock off the little bit of armor that certain characters are wearing, though.
Yeah,
of course you can.
But that's quite funny more than it is sexy, I would say.
Mitsurugi in his pants, always hot.
Quite funny.
Ooh, nice.
But I don't know about you guys. I've always quite liked Soul Calibur generally. I thought it's been off the boil a little bit for the last couple of games.
It was ever since they did the Star Wars crossover, it went a bit weird.
No, yeah. I liked that one.
I like the idea of it.
I've always liked them, but I haven't loved them as much as I loved the originals on the Dreamcast and stuff, basically. So,
the Dreamcast one was banging.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. But this is, like, in terms of the base fighting engine and the kind of, you know, one-to-one and just general game, it is back on form again. Like, the lineup is kind of a bit simplified. I think there's two other new characters as well, and Grow, and you get kind of introduced to a bit of how they're introduced into the timeline of the Soul Calibur series in one of the story modes. And yeah, as I said, we haven't played as much of the two player, so we'll probably come back to that next week. But just to mention quickly the kind of single player content, the one that they kind of put you in to start with, I can't remember what they call it. It's not story mode, because that's the kind of more secondary thing. It's a challenge mode or something. Anyway, but the first mode, and they say, right, it's got some tutorial stuff, so that's the first thing you should go with. And that's a bit drier. It's got a bit more kind of just a lot of just text in boxes, reading a couple of talking heads, and not much in the way of presentation, and then quite a short fight, and then you'll have another few minutes of thing. And it just broke up the fights a bit too much. Whereas the other mode, the kind of story mode that presents stuff, is a bit more interesting. It tells the story of what's going on with the Soul Calibur and Soul Edge and all that type of stuff.
Cutscenes?
And just how different... Yeah, and it's got like kind of introductory cutscenes a bit
Excellent.
More. And it's the presentation's just a lot more palatable, I found, kind of thing.
Tasty.
Yeah, it's got the kind of different conditions where, you know, you might have reduced health or different things going on, but none of them seem to affect things quite in the way that they used to. I don't know if that's just in the earlier things, but I did complete the main storyline, which is with Kalik, Zhangxu, and
Jeff Bridges
and Max. it's the three of them, and they're kind of teaming up, and you kind of bounce around between playing the three of them, and then eventually fight Nightmare and one of the bosses that was in the back in the old games, basically, which is quite cool to see. But yeah, like I haven't completed all of that, but generally you can like unlock more of the other characters' stories as you progress through that as well. And then yeah, see where they kind of fit in the timeline, and that kind of works quite nicely. And I kind of really like the presentation of that. Overall, the general fighting engine and the lineup seem really good. The new characters seem okay, as well has got like gloves that kind of conjure up different weapons. So he's basically just, you know, one of the kind of amalgamations of different people's movesets, which I'm always a little bit iffy on, but he actually seems to like play okay. So I've been all right with him. And Gro's got a kind of like double sword, not quite like, what's his name, Darth Maul. It's more something like, it's almost like a big club that he holds in the middle, but then can split apart into two swords. And yeah, like he seems really good. I quite like fighting with him. He seems a bit hard to fight against at the moment, but maybe because I don't know him as well. But generally, yeah, like the rest of the lineups, all the kind of classic lineup from you know, Soul Calibur that you're used to. There is a day one bonus character for that's DLC, which is always a bit iffy on. I did buy the season pass because I really like the game, and Coleman was kind enough to have bought me the game for a birthday present.
Hello.
So I thought I'd get the season pass so that we have access to all the characters and can talk about them. Talim, I think it is. Is the extra character? She's the one. Talim's the one with the two things. Kira's, I think. Kira is the one with the kind of. She's got like a big circle blade that she kind of hula hoops with, almost.
Yeah, she's been around a while.
She's been in other games, so it, like, you know, it's a bit. It almost feels like she's been taken away from the game a little bit for the lineup, but at the same time, it's nice to have the other character. She does play well. She is interesting in that. There's also a really good character builder in the game as well. You can basically base someone on the different movesets of any character in the game, but then customize everything else beyond that. And there's different like outfits and stickers and different things you can make, but then you can make city characters. I've made an Iron Man basically, and a legally different Nightwing, and legally different Iron Man basically. But but yeah, and then you can share, like, you can share things online. I don't know why you can only share one creation at once, which I think is a bit limited, but maybe that's something they want to do for control reasons. I don't get it, but yeah, still. I really enjoyed my time with the game. It's something that Coleman and I have talked about in preview about more about the multiplayer. And yeah, as I said, other than the slight disappointment with the initial mode going in, the single player content has been pretty good and pretty enjoyable. So yeah, all good.
Excellent. Yes.
Okay, well, also while we're talking about Namco, or Bandai Namco, they were kind enough to invite me along on Monday to a presentation and kind of, well, semi-concert type thing, but basically for a game called 1111 Memories Retold.
Do you know what? I bet he played it on bloody novice mode as well.
But this was a game that we, Coleman and I had been to see, and we talked about on a previous podcast, again, that we went to see at the same time as Soul Calibur, as it happens. But yeah, it's one that is interesting from a number of perspectives, and something that I'm keen to shine a light on, and also I'm going to put out there that I'm glad of the fact that Bandai Namco like went to the bother of like shining a light on this game. It's involving Aardman Animation, which I think makes it interesting from that perspective. They have developed other games before, but this is their first console game that they're making in conjunction with DigiArt, which is a company I didn't recognize the name of. But they were actually, and it's not something they're massively publicizing, but they were the same people that made Valiant Hearts.
Yes.
It's a respectful and kind of almost with great reverence take on a story from World War One that I respect both parties in their ability to tell that story, tell it well, and tell it respectfully type of thing. And from what I've seen of the game and from their presentation, it's a project they really care about. I think it's a really interesting game. It's going to be coming out in time for Remembrance Day, obviously, and that's kind of what the 1111 is a reference to type of thing. But the Memories Retold part of the title, I think they've particularly got that in there because that's exactly what they're trying to do with this game. They are trying to, and they're not necessarily saying that this is two real life stories, but this is two stories from a Canadian soldier played by Elijah Wood and a German soldier played by someone I'm forgetting the name of, which I'm Sebastian Koch, was it, I think. But yeah, basically two, like, you know, quite high grade actors that are known more for their kind of Hollywood type stuff. And I think this is a bit of a passion project for them as well, but it's also the Aardman animation came into it in the kind of art style. And it's something you can, I don't think you can appreciate it from seeing screenshots. I think it's something you need to see in motion. And even then it loses a little bit of, you know, of that and not just playing it yourself, but it's very much a watercolor in motion, painted effect basically. And it's something that looks, yeah, really kind of nice in motion. One of the things I didn't appreciate is just how difficult that was to do in the way that they've done it and the way they've executed it. And that's something that they went through in the presentation. And there was various different members of the team that kind of got up and did various different presentations throughout the evening. Kind of started off with just an actor kind of sort of telling a part and telling a story from World War One, kind of setting the scene type thing. But then it went through various other people, the creative director and other people kind of like talking us through parts of the game, some of the writers. And one of the things I found really interesting there was just like how much they focused on the kind of the color palettes and matching up color palettes to the kind of mood of the story throughout the game and stuff like that. I always find that kind of thing kind of interesting. But yeah, like it was fascinating presentation. It was nice to see, like, you know, how they'd done the game. I think the art style is one of the things where I'd like to dig in a bit deeper with that, because it's a really kind of interesting, like, focus on what you have to do to deliver the artistic, you know, the technical side to delivering the artistic vision, basically. And just, yeah, they basically kind of gave the level, or not the level designers, but the people kind of, you know, doing the graphic end of things to have they wanted to give them the type of freedom that you would have with a painting and a paintbrush and having to do that. And just the different depths and different kind of depth maps things that they had of, you know, this surface is available with this size brush and all that type of stuff. And just, it was just fascinating to see how much technical work had to go into delivering that, basically. And yeah, it kind of, the presentation culminated in, basically the composer and a choir presenting some of the music that they'd written for the game as well. And it's something that is, it's one of those weird things. It was kind of sung in French because the composer is French, and the game set in France, even though the kind of the lead character is a Canadian soldier who, incidentally, we talked about it before, but he was a photographer kind of drawn to war to impress a girlfriend at home kind of thing, and kind of gets sucked in and has a chance encounter with a German soldier who's looking for his son who's lost on the front line, basically. And yeah, like it, as I said, it's a really interesting story. We got to see a bit of the gameplay presented as well, and kind of, you know, discussed and talked over. And the two other characters that you take control of in the game are a cat and a pigeon at different times, basically. And that is one thing that I was slightly concerned with, that I'm less concerned with having seen, is the fact that they do seem to add a good, like, variety to the gameplay, and they kind of explained the artistic ideas behind why those, you know, animals are used and that type of idea. But yeah, like I said, the presentation was really fascinating. After that, we got to actually wander around, didn't mention, but this was all done in the Imperial War Museum. Okay. And kind of after hours, which was kind of, yeah, it felt kind of eerie and impactful kind of thing. It was a really interesting experience. But we also got to wander around the World War One exhibition as well, which was really fascinating. But yeah, it kind of felt very much in keeping with the game. It's something that, as I said, I'm glad to see them shining a light on. It's a I don't know if it's there's any package release planned, actually, but it's a game that's like going to be $24.99, so it's not the most expensive game. It's about 6 hours long or so, by the sounds of things. And it's one that I think is a good one for, you know, not just them shining the light on, but then other people responding and doing the same, because it's retelling, as it says, a story of the war, and making sure that the lessons learned about people from that time aren't lost going forward. And I think that's something worth remembering in the world at the moment, basically. And also, it's the 100th anniversary of the end of World War One, basically, this year. So
yeah, I mean, all I was going to say, I mean, have you guys ever been to kind of the World War One battlefields in France and Belgium?
I've not, no.
No, I mean, it's just one of those things. I think what Tim says is perfectly right. I mean, until you actually see these things and you go to like the World War One military cemeteries where there are just graves as far as you can see, just makes you realize how bloody stupid war is, and if we ever do it again, what the hell are we thinking about? Because it's such senseless loss. And, you know, I'm really glad to hear that's the angle they're talking about, because it's, you know, war is often painted as very much as a kind of us and them. But actually, certainly for definitely World War One, you know, it was kind of full of reluctant heroes, people who really didn't want to be there.
And yeah, just for the record, it like neither of the people in this really wanted to go to war and are really doing it to fight. And neither of them are painted as the bad guy, basically, which is something else I kind of like to see, and taking from that perspective is interesting, kind of thing, from the game's perspective.
It sounds fascinating, though. Seriously, I mean, yeah, and when's it potentially due out and about? 11/11.
I'll double check, but I think it's.
I think the intention is to release it on Remembrance Sunday, isn't it? On 11/11.
Well, I think it's out just before.
Or just before, because game releases are on Friday now, aren't they?
Let me just actually look that up.
Yeah. No, I've got a friend. It's 9th of November.
Yeah. Yeah. See that.
But no, I will definitely be checking that out, actually. That sounds, you know, something that is, I hate to use the whole kind of games as our argument, but it's a very.
Well, this is a very strong argument in that favour,
yeah.
Basically.
Yes. Yeah.
But beyond its artistic merits and its merits as a game, I also think it's an important thing to have a medium that reflects these kind of stories in a respectful way, that people can take those lessons and learn similar, you know, the ultimate lessons that were learned from it, not just the horrific war side of things, kind of thing, you know. And look, it was just to kind of round things out, it was said at the event by a lot of the developers that this was more, you know, a lot of them had clearly had passion for it, but a lot of their families were more related to, or more immediately related to, people that were in the Second World War rather than the First World War. And I think that's, you know, an obvious thing. And I think them taking the time to shine a light on this generation of things is a good thing to be doing in this medium at this time. And we've had it in games, but not in necessarily and I'm not saying that they're disrespectful in what they do, but it's not quite the same thing.
You know, it's a very romanticized version of what war is that often gets portrayed.
Yeah, and I think it's better be. No, I'm not saying it's better. It's just a nice thing to be seeing something that is showing that other side. And it is, and I don't want to get too preachy about this, but our generation was immediately connected to our grandparents' generation that were the ones that went through the war. And we're kind of coming up to the point where we're losing most of that generation. I think it's the charge of our generation to carry those stories on and make sure the lessons that our grandparents' generation learned are not forgotten going forward. And it's one of the things I worry about in Brexit. But anyway.
yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, it's good to see the human stories told. And that's part of what kind of made titles like Valiant Hearts. Remember that?
Which they worked on.
Why I kind of found that such an engaging experience as well.
And this is definitely a slightly different tone to that. But if you're a fan of that at all, I definitely recommend checking this out, just because it's slightly differently artistically and slightly differently tonally, but yeah. I think it's
Valiant Hearts was a little bit more it had the hard hitting moments, but it was more comedy and fantastical elements thrown in as well, whereas this is a bit more straight laced.
But it's very much centered on the individuals, which is, you know, something as kind of not necessarily like super duper heroes, as kind of flawed individuals. So
I don't know if I stress this enough, but it's very artistic and very beautiful looking, but it is a story driven narrative based game type thing, you know? So yeah, anyway, as I said, worth shining a light on and worth looking out for, and yeah, urge everyone to if you're interested, have a look.
November 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on Xbox One, PS4, PC, and I would imagine Fullness of Time Switch as well, but I
don't think it is on Switch.
Yeah, I'm not sure they've announced it for that yet.
Yeah, hopefully it'd be nice if it came to all platforms.
Yeah, I think it would be.
I think it might be a good fit. So yeah, but anyway, but you've also been playing a game as well, Coleman.
Yes, and this is something I've spoken about before, but it was way back in 2015, which is the game Undertale. 2015, Dan.
When?
Yes, just 2015, Dan. 2015.
When?
What are we doing?
When?
Nurse?
Doing?
I don't understand.
Nurse?
I don't understand what you're doing.
It's a long time ago.
Okay.
Going senile, I think, is
I'm feeling old at the moment.
Anyway.
Having a breakdown right now.
I spoke about Undertale. It came out on the PC. I really, really liked it. Didn't have a lot of time for it, though, because it's an RPG on the PC, and I tend to be doing other things with my PC that isn't video games related.
Private mode.
Yeah. Anyway, they've since released Undertale on the PlayStation 4 and the Vita, but I was holding out hope, which eventually did come to be. Undertale has come to the Nintendo Switch, and I picked that stuff up straight away as soon as I could.
Hey, and how is that shizdizzle?
It is very good. It is a very well done port, which in terms of the game itself, it isn't going to be too taxing on the system because it is like a very low poly, low bit game. It's done by a guy called Toby Fox, who initially working in music, but in video games, he worked on some Earthbound ROM hacks. And this very much is an Earthbound love letter, this game. So, there's kind of two ways you can go about this game, which is you can go through and fight monsters and bosses and things, or you can not fight bosses and monsters and things and try to spare everyone. So there's kind of I think there's multiple endings, but there's the kind of two main ways you can go about things. So if you fight someone very early on, you'll come across a monster, bang, hit, dead, you get attack points, you get level up, all that kind of stuff. You pick up weapons along the way, you can upgrade. If you don't want to kill anyone, you have to go through these kind of series of puzzles. And there'll be a hitbox, there'll be a box that will have a little heart in front of you, and you control this heart. And there'll be little white pellets that you'll have to avoid. But sometimes those white pellets aren't white pellets. Maybe they're a bar that runs along the screen upwards or left to right. Maybe the physics of the heart stop you moving it around in all directions and suddenly becomes like a 2D platformer. Sometimes those white pellets become like giant arms or something after you, and the challenge becomes in that way of trying to get a full pacifist run without killing anyone, but having these sometimes near impossible challenges thrown in front of you. Which if you're going the kind of other route, I do remember from experience, there is kind of, it's a lot easier to get through, but the story is not as satisfying. It's quite upsetting, and it is a very emotional game as well, and you'll find at least one or two bosses in there just super balls hard to get through. If you've not played it, it's worth picking up, especially on the Switch. It was a little bit shonky at launch. There was a kind of there was some form of input lag on the controls. Got patched out within days. It runs perfectly fine, and I absolutely love this game. If you've not tried Undertale before, Switch is a perfectly viable platform for you to go get it on.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Viable.
Yeah.
It's a way to make something sound fantastic.
It is a fantastic game. It's a game that's written so well, and it has really, really good characters in it. And it's a game where I went on a date with a skeleton, Dan, and he made me spaghetti, and I love him.
Hey, did you feel?
He's named after a font. He's called Papyrus.
Did you feel obliged to go on a date with him because he had nobody else to go with?
Ha. Dad jokes.
Yeah, I know, right. Well, I may well check that. How much does it cost onto Switches?
I believe it's about £15.
Okay.
I don't believe you will check it out, because last time you went, oh, I will check that out, and I gifted it to you, and you never accepted it. And I gifted it to you about three times, and then in the end, I just gave it away to a random person.
Well, I'm just a horrible human being.
You are a terrible human being.
Yeah, I'm a terrible human being. Yes. All right, well, I'll check that out my own f***ing money then. Good.
Good.
I'm just having a look at the website that's been Nintendo Switchified, and I've just seen something that says, I wish I had eight legs so I could wear four pairs of hot pants. I think that's something we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, good. Anyway, we really ought to wrap things up. But there's a couple of housekeeping things. First of all, Tim, Tuesday's Tuesday.
Tuesday is a Tuesday, and this Tuesday is extra special because it's our Halloween special.
Oh, spooky. Ooh,
spooky, scary skeletons.
Yes. Oh, I am so... scariness.
Would you say it's a big red boo-roll special?
Oh, for God's sakes, man.
That may... I'm not sure, because Dan has set the bar pretty high or low. I'm not sure, but that may be the worst pun in Big Red Barrel history.
Fun little side note, I did try to make a BRB logo with a little ghost costume on for Halloween for us, our social media accounts. Aww. Did look a bit like a Klansman. Decided not to go ahead with that one.
I think that's probably probably wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'll show you how we can get away with that one for next year then. Or not get away with it, but do it so it doesn't look like that. Anyway, anyone that doesn't know, each and every week we have a different feature game, and if you come along and play that feature game, you get a chance to win a copy of that game at the end of the night, and we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston each and every week. And as I said, you come join us, you can possibly win a game. And this week is our Halloween special, so we'll be having extra games and extra prizes. And you probably, if you've been to our Halloween special before, you've got a fairly good idea, but yeah, should be a good one to come along to. There are more details on the top left hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, and also you can join our meetup group on meetup.com, search for Tabletop Tuesday, and yeah, come join us on there, and yeah, should be a good one to join us for, so come on down.
The price is probably wrong.
Are you going to be there, Mr. Coleman? I'm not sure if you're off next week or not.
I'm at work, sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
But it's all right, Tim. You can play trick and treat on us all like the scamp you are when you get back. Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, spooky. Ooh, spooky.
At least we've got another, like, possible title for the show that
Dan,
isn't about seepages or...
Do you know what spooky is, Dan?
What?
Spooky's a name for a random erection.
Is it?
You never heard that one?
No.
Got a massive spooky. Cabin pressure's really getting to me.
Mate, it's not even on it's not even on Urban Dictionary, mate.
You're not looking at, mate, it's too cool for Urban Dictionary.
is this exclusively a word used in one street in Gosport?
Spooky is one of the more notable reviews in the porn world, apparently.
Well done.
White's reviews for Adult DVD Empire.
Good.
Nope, still. Oh, there we go, found it. Page 2.
There we go.
Actually, I quite like the definition of that.
Yeah, so do I.
Do you know why it's called a ghost, Tim?
It's not called a ghost, Tim. Don't blemish me.
Well,
with
actually,
that.
The conversation on, and I you not.
Is it between Tim and someone else?
Between Tim and Simon.
Yeah, they often use Tim on their forums for something.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Tabletop Tuesday, 30th of October, Halloween special, Dalston, London.
Hey! But anyway, it is not just trundling over to a bar in Dalston where you can have the fun times. No. You can do it on the internet as well. And coming up, not this weekend, but the weekend afterwards, is the... is it getting on for 9th annual? It's 8th or 9th annual now, isn't it? 10th annual?
Yeah, I got confused by my profile on Extra Life, but it's the 10th.
Yeah, so it's Extra Life's coming up.
That made me feel old. But still,
I'm doing it. Are you doing it, Tim?
Yes, I was thinking of backing out, but now I'm going to man up and do it. So
why were you going to back out? Yeah.
Well, no, actually, well, you just talked yourself into a corner. I was counting backing out as going for 2 12-hour stints. I'm now going to do the full 24 hours.
You're going to do the full 24 hours? Well, that's fantastic. Well, that means we're going to have, if you can work out how a computer works and manage to stream something, the chances of that are fucking minimal.
Considering I'll be doing it with Coleman and someone else, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, that means there's going to be upwards of 36 hours of extra life BRB goodness, because me and my classic wingman Kev, we're going to be doing it in 2 12-hour stints. So, well, we're probably going to end up doing more than 24 hours because usually it ends up being 2 16-hour stints. So you're going to have lots of big red barrel.
This means you can take over from us in the morning and then you can do the late Sunday shift.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed we will. And there's all going to be all kinds of stuff going on. There will be a post on the front page of BigRedBarrel.com with all of the details, the donation pages of staff members who are getting involved, as well as Twitch links or YouTube gaming links or Mixer links or wherever you cool kids stream your fidget games these days.
What's your plans, Dan?
Kev. This is Kev suggested this, not me.
Okay.
Kev suggested all 4 Destiny 2 raids.
Okay.
Whoa.
That's insane. Yep.
Yeah, and it's going to be the 5th annual Delivery Van Cup in Forza Horizon 4.
We might have to get involved in that one.
Yeah,
way or another.
It's, all you need to do is buy a transit van. That's all you need to do.
Okay.
And this year it's going to be stock racing van. So you don't need to go and spend extra credit. Not souping them up.
Oh, okay.
They're fun souped up though. They're not made to go around corners.
No, but there is a car that if you can do the barn find for it. It's the PLP50. That is the little three-wheeler that's small, the really tiny small three-wheeler. Yeah. Only one person can fit in.
Well, I might have to try and unlock
I've got
on
one of those that goes 187 miles an hour. Can't drive it.
I had one of those last year and it would roll everywhere.
Yeah, 187 miles an hour until it gets to a corner, yeah?
Mm. And no doubt there will be the whatever annual event that is me trying to build inappropriate things in Minecraft happening once again. I think one year I did build an animated spooky, you'd be pleased to know, Carmen.
Yeah, you did that that would have been like 4 years ago now.
Three, four years ago.
It might have been the year, I think it was the year that I couldn't join in on the Destiny stuff because I was too low level.
Yeah.
And you guys went ahead. And then at some point you were really happy about a jisming penis that you made.
Yeah, I was.
That was good.
It was, I thought so. Anyway.
Me and Tim, we are going to do a Extra Life live stream together.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah, you are.
We are. Mm-hmm. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Our good friend Ed that was on last week's show, he's going to join us. And we are going to do a bunch of fighting games, it looks like, along with some other stuff outside of the fighting genre. But also that means we're going to be doing some WWE 2K19. Which, much like many of the years, it has a creator wrestler mode, which you can take a photo of your face and stretch it over a wrestler's face.
And that is scary as all hell.
Yes, and I've already made a me and an Ed. I've got to make a Tim. We have a Big Red Barrel belt. We have a Big Red Barrel Money in the Bank briefcase. We're soon to have a Big Red Barrel arena. It's going to be some fun times of Big Red Barreling.
I have a request.
Yes.
Can you take a photo of a new non-human object and put that on a wrestler's face, please?
Yes, you can.
Excellent. I would like a tin of beans.
Tin of beans.
Tin of beans.
Tin of beans, the wrestler.
Dan Diamonds, the tin of beans.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it takes me like an hour to make a character, so I was thinking of doing some guest characters, but time is not on my side.
Nah, that's fair enough, dude. That's fair enough.
There's enough games to play at the moment.
Yeah, but no, we will hopefully... And are you guys going to be Transit Van Racing? The right answer is yes.
We only have one Xbox available, so I think Tim will have to take this one.
Excellent.
I'll be there for shouting words of encouragement, though.
Yeah, and
it's what we like. Lovely. Well, that is indeed a thing. And I think we've run out of time and or space. So We just want to say thank you to a couple of people before we disappear, and those people are thusly. From the Facebook, I would like to thank Freya Goddard, Mark Fraser, and Nelly.
Yeah, Nelly didn't actually comment on the post, but she messaged me privately to see why I'd been away and said, like, welcome back and stuff. So
yeah,
thank you, Nelly.
You can't ask. He's an international man of mystery. You have to leave it a mystery. Them's the rules.
Yeah.
I'd be more pegged as a man of dysentery than a man of mystery, to be honest with you. But, you know, there we go.
I should have known that you would have gone toilet and kind of...
Yes, yeah, I went
my
toilet,
mind didn't
Tim.
Go there, though,
I went full toilet is
full
what I did.
Toilet.
Hilarious.
Anyway, full toilet.
God.
Who are you saying thank you to, Tim?
I don't know anymore, Dan.
Why don't you just do them all this week, Dan?
All right, yeah. Okay. From the forums, I'd like to say thank you to Richard Kirk and Stealthy Joe. And from the Twitter sphere, I would like to say thank you to Andy Baines. But I'm not going to thank anyone from iTunes. Oh, no, because no one said anything. And YouTube, yeah, we know all six of you watch the videos every week. You didn't thank us either.
It's like 14 now.
Is it? Wow. Yeah. Don't let that fame go to our heads.
The viewership on our YouTube podcast videos are a lot lower than the actual listening figures. But that's okay, because those few people that watch it, they wanted it, they've got it. I'm happy to make the videos even if it's one person watching it a week and they're like, yay, I'm happy to do it.
I found that I've started watching it on YouTube just because...
That's the one.
I started watching videos. It's almost like that's what they were designed for,
as
Tim.
In watching it on YouTube in preference to listening to the audio, just because I can bounce around various different devices without having to worry about where the podcast is and where I am in the podcast. And also because, yeah,
Carmen's
been...
As Tim just discovered the internet circa 2007.
Well, no, but also Carmen's been putting up all the video, and yeah, I think that adds something to it as well. So, yeah.
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 Especially when we actually remember to capture some footage of games.
Yeah. Like I haven't done this week yet.
Oh, good. Yeah. I love it when the plan comes together.
We've got footage of the games we were talking about anyway.
Good.
Right, shall we go now? Because it's an hour and a half into this schmozzle.
Are you saying we should put ourselves out of this misery?
Gibbo need din din.
Yes.
Gibbo need din din. Gibbo hungry. Gibbo sad.
Gibbo sad.
Gibbo sad.
Gibbo sad. So can we make Gibbo now? I was going to say, I'm going to go off and make Gibbo happy, but that really...
He's got himself a spooky.
Man, eh? I have.
Gibbo I know make what... happy with Gibbo spooky.
Gibbo back in 2 minutes.
Bed beans.
Oh. Right, let's go because reasons.
No, so, Gibbo, what are you doing to that can of beans?
Gibbo, try open can.
Not
spooky Gibbo's dry headbutt beans.
Gibbo's fooling nobody.
Gibbo wary of sharp edges. Make Gibbo sad.
I'm glad we weren't all in weird moods this evening. Then, because, yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
Anyway. Right.
And there ends the therapy session
there
for this week,
thing.
Gentlemen.
We've all made really good progress. Yep. Well done. Well done, us.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
And
so make
rest.
Sure you head on over to the internet and put bigredbarrel/thing.net in whatever, you know, you've got, and you might well come across us. And yeah, we'll speak to you this time next week and very soon after that for Extra Life. So, www.bigredbarrel.com. I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Yeah.
Ivan Coleman, make sure to donate for me for Extra Life over the other two.
Why?
Because I like getting more money than you two.
No, fair enough.
I've so far raised £0 and 0 pence. So.
All right.
Good.
Well, to be fair,
me
I
also.
Only raised money because I donated money.
What?
I only raised money because I put it in myself so far.
Ugh.
What? It gives you the option to put money in when you sign up, so I did.
Why are you putting it in yourself?
God.
Tim make Tim happy.
Oh, a £50 note, not made of plastic yet. Oh.
Where did the £50 note come into the equation?
I don't know. Are you describing as a man who might have £50 notes?
Right?
Can we I don't know why.
Okay.
It's very late.
That's even for you, Dan, that is a fairly random thing to say to me. You strike me as a person that might like 50 ahead.
No, wheeler dealers, of which I vaguely consider you a wheeler dealer, Tim.
Oh, okay. You're saying I'm Del Boy, basically.
Yes, pretty much.
Right, good.
Right. And, you know, because of that association, you're saying like somebody may have fondled a £50 note at some point in your life.
Can we go, please? The streetlights are on and Mother will be very worried.
I thought we were being put out of our misery much earlier.
Right, anyway, we're going to end the show now. So thank you ever so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. And if you're still here, well done you. We'll be back
apologies
soon.
Apologies all round.
Indeed. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
Seepage.
No, you didn't.
Secretion.
No, you doubled up.
What?
It's just the quiet.
Yeah, the quiet's more disturbing.